We're reading from now, further on in the series on Revelation, from Revelation 19, verses 1 to 5. Revelation 19, 1 to 5, rejoicing in heaven. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne. And they were saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, small and great." So far the reading of God's word.
Our text verse is from verse 1, chapter 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, have you lately look up to see if God is still upon his throne? With all these floods, these pandemics, wars, rumors of wars, we need to come to understanding that God reigns, that God is sovereign, and he controls the events of our life. And no matter what may seem out of control in my life, we confess that God is in control, that God is holding his church, his people, in his hand. Though evil and total lawlessness will reign for a short time on earth, God will ultimately prevail. And there's no attribute more comforting to God's children than his sovereignty. Whatever your trial, whatever your tragedy, God is on his throne. And there are times, and there will be times in our life, when this is the only thing that will keep us going. This evening we are invited to go before the throne of God. Last week in Revelation 18, we saw a lot of crying. Tears of people who have lost everything. They've lost their income, their way of life, their religion, and their beautiful city. This is the fall of Babylon. We're selling everything if you have money, and the people on earth were crying. In Revelation 19, the focus is not on earth anymore, but on heaven. On earth, Babylon is destroyed and the people are crying. But in heaven, a great multitude and the 24 elders and the four living creatures are rejoicing. We have heard about this great multitude, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, already in Revelation 4 and 7. Revelation 4, John was taken away through the Spirit, and he saw a door standing open in heaven. John was given a vision of heaven, and he saw a door standing open, and he heard a voice like the sound of a trumpet. And if you open your Bibles there, you can follow me. Looking into heaven, John records that he saw a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. He saw God seated on his throne. Can you even imagine anything more glorious? The word seated describes the position of a king who is actively reigning. And John sees God seated, meaning that God is actively governing over his creation. That God is in control, that God is seated on his throne. He created heaven and earth with everything in it from nothing. And he's still keeping it by his eternal counsel and his providence. Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And he's my God and my Father. Romans 8. Nothing is too difficult or impossible for our Father. It's just saying it is. And he's for the sake of Christ, my God and my Father. He rules the world. And everything is under his fatherly care. And John saw 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the thrones were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. John saw 24 elders, and it had great symbolic value, and that's what Revelation 19 is talking about. 12 times 2, 12 tribes of Israel, but also the 12 apostles. God's whole church of the Old and the New Testament are present before his throne, represented. It tells us that all those God has chosen in Jesus Christ are present, and his church is the fruit earnings on the cross. He will never leave his church in darkness. God's word is valid for all times. It's enough. It's sufficient. Determine our life, and scripture is valid for all times. Not only us, but also present before God's throne is his whole creation was represented. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And around the throne, each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." This is the animal world, represented by the lion, the ox, that present the tamed animals, humans and birds, and they all lift and give glory to the Lord. God's whole council is represented. Means they are there through his providence. They gave glory to him. Glory, honor, and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Revelation 4. The 24 elders was present in heaven, and they were praising God. In Revelation 7, verse 9 to 10, we read about a great multitude. And behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And John saw this multitude after the tribulation. This is the persecution, the time of hardship, and he saw their glory. John also asked in Revelation who these people were. And he was told, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, chapter 7, verse 14. These are the ones who have survived the trials of life, those who have remained faithful, even though life was painful and hard, who kept the faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and look with all trials and persecution with uplifted head towards the great day of the Lord. And they continued to give all glory and praise to the Lord. The great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In chapter 19, we saw how all these groups are coming together after the fall of Babylon. God's whole creation, a great multitude, the 24 elders and the four living creatures was praising God. The earth and its inhabitants were crying out about the city, but heaven was rejoicing. The great church reformer, John Calvin, said, and we need to remember this, although there's a storm on earth, it's still quiet in heaven. Babylon has fallen, but heaven is rejoicing. They are singing praise songs about the destruction of Babylon, the worldly city who persecuted God's people, deceived the inhabitants of the earth, and they gave glory to the Lord. We're reading in Revelation 19, this is a great multitude, and they are crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. They praise him for his judgment, which is true and just. He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her blood, the blood of his servants. For a second time, they were calling out, hallelujah, and the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. It's remarkable because this is the only time in the New Testament that hallelujah is used. The word hallelujah means praise the Lord. It's in Hebrew, but in our text it's written in Greek letters. And the hallelujah choir rejoices over the fall of Babylon and rises in intensity so that it sounds to John like the roar of many waters. Verse 6, they are praising the Lord that he destroyed Babylon, that God's promises are fulfilled. Similar to the Psalms where God is praised when he destroyed his enemies. Psalm 106, God is praised that he destroyed his enemies in the Red Sea, in Exodus. The great works of God are remembered from dividing the Red Sea to the destruction of the Egyptian army in Exodus. Psalm 149, verse 7, God is praised because he executed vengeance on the nations, punishment on the people. And so Revelation 19 is the fulfillment of all the promises. Also, there's one in Psalm 149. One commentator writes, the power of praise and the word of God will ultimately see God's work accomplished among the nations. For those who persist in disobedience, it will be vengeance and punishment at the end of the age. Not even kings or nobles can escape this judgment to come. And Revelation 19 is the fulfillment of this promise. God's promises and justice came in fulfillment. This is God's righteousness, and Babylon deserved this because she deceived the nations with her prostitution, deceived the people with her earthly riches. And I'm preaching out of my head. Just give me a moment. Babylon is destroyed. The smoke goes up forever and ever. And God's justice is fulfilled, and therefore the inhabitants of heaven praise the Lord. They're so full of praise that they are singing only two words, amen and hallelujah. Amen, it's true. It's sure, it's fulfilled. God listened to all the prayers of the saints, the believers, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you hear this, we have all hope. We have so much hope for the future. Revelation 19 is about God's mercy, but also God's justice. He destroyed Babylon, and so his justice was fulfilled on those who rejected his son, persecuted his children. Lord's Day 4 of the Heidelberg Catechism is asked, but isn't God also merciful? And the answer, God is certainly merciful, but he's also just. His justice demands that sin committed against his supreme majesty be punished with the supreme penalty. Eternal punishment of body and soul in hell. God gave his son to die on the cursed cross where the terrible consequence of our sin came down on him. And he gave his spirit to give a repentant heart full of remorse. And if we repent from our sins, then God declares that we are clean from our sins through Christ's atonement on the cross. God gave an answer in his love. He provided a sacrifice. And in the center of God's righteousness, we found Christ on a hill, in agony over the undeserved judgment that came from his Father. And of all injustices, the greatest took place in that mysterious exchange where judgment was poured out on Christ as he purchased ultimate glory for his new creation. All fulfilled. Revelation 19. God's response and judgment was a response of love where he gave his son for my sin. And God put us back in his service through Jesus Christ. He satisfied God's justice temporarily and eternally. And it's completed in perfect harmony. And we never have to doubt if God is merciful. Just look to the cross, where Jesus bore the righteousness of God. And there on the cross, Jesus bore the righteous judgment of sin. But he also obtained for us the forgiving grace of God. But then the judgment of God still stay on those who reject Christ, those who persecuted his children, those who committed atrocities and abominations, Babylon. God's judgment stayed on them. They were warned over the ages, called to repentance. Jesus warned in John 12, verse 48, the one who rejects me and does not receive my word as a judge, the word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. And so God in his love is lifting the veil, the future on his throne. And he's saying to you, I want to see what's happening to those who reject me, but also what my children are doing in heaven, those who reject the gospel. And he does this because he loves us, and he shows us what's coming because he knows it's so easy to look and think, I'm going to get by with my sin. I'm going to prosper in my sin. Babylon will be destroyed. There will be tears on earth, but hallelujahs, amen, and praises in heaven. Beloved, I want to conclude with the vision of Revelation 7, especially because today is Palm Sunday. In Revelation 7, John saw a multitude who praised God, and they had palm branches in their hands. And John saw this multitude after the tribulation. This is the persecution, a time of hardship, and he saw their glory. And John was told, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. And the great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. There's so much to realize here. God will protect his children. Don't fear the times. Don't fear tribulation. Don't fear persecution. His church and all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. This morning we've heard about the multitude of Palm Sunday, who sang hallelujah. But his church of all time worship him and praise him. These beings when they worship, although they were from every tribe and nation, they are clothed in white purified clothes, purified through Jesus' blood. They are palm branches in their hand, just like the multitude in Jerusalem on the first palm. The branches are a symbol that Jesus saves, the victory of Jesus. They were victorious over the sin in their life, the forces that were against them, the world and all its deceiving voices. They were serving the Lord and they gave all honor and glory to the Lord. Let us pray that Palm Sunday in heaven will be soon. That day we will realize that we stand before the Lord in heaven only by the blood of the precious Son of God and because of His mercy. It's not due to our efforts, but only because of grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You. And we praise Your name with a hallelujah. Know that You are the Lord and that You are in control over all the times. Sometimes we are blinded by the things that go on earth. But You show us through this vision given to John that we don't have to fear. The end is written. And it's the victory is glorious. And through grace and through faith, we can share in this. And it's through grace alone that we can believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, that Your judgments are just. Father, we pray for this day to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.